I'm always blessed when Mom tells her stories. It's I've appreciated the practicalness of her ministry to us over the years. Very down to earth, and yet very spiritual. Being patient and having peace under pressure is a very spiritual thing. Sometimes we get these things confused, and we think that the way I necessarily conduct myself in church, or if I can give a good testimony, or if I can pray real long in public, or give a good talk from the Bible, that somehow I'm a spiritual person. But I think in God's eyes it's very different. The Lord looks at the heart. And Jesus came to show us how we ought to live. We had a little bit about that this morning. You think that was very spiritual? Washing his disciples' feet. But tonight, just in closing, we've been considering Moses as God's servant. Moses, the servant of the Lord. There are different places in the Bible that talk of his ministry. The Bible says that he was faithful. Faithful before God. But there's a passage in Hebrews 11 that I'd like to just read to you. Something that we can pray over. I think it goes along with what Mom has already told us tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Here we see these heroes of faith. Verse 23, By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. We talked a little bit about this, how God had spared Moses at birth. There was a purpose for his life. God had called him to be a deliverer, to bring the people out of Egypt. And we saw how God led him, spared him at birth, brought him into Pharaoh's household, and how he was trained in all the wisdom, learning of the Egyptians. And then we know how he tried in his own strength to make the people know that he was there to help them, and how he killed the Egyptian, hit him in the sand. And thank you. What am I supposed to do with this? Okay. My mother taught me not to eat candy in church. I think I sound a little bit like my grandfather tonight. If you ever hear Gottfried. I remember the first time I heard him on a tape. I never met him, but he talked real deep and slow. So I'll try to pick it up a little bit. But we saw how God led him, and he ended up in the wilderness taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. It wasn't even his sheep, it was his father-in-law's sheep. 80 years old. His life hadn't amounted to much, seemingly. And there's where God met him and called him from the burning bush. And we went over that story and saw how it, you know, God really stripped him of himself, humbled him. And then when he was in that, when he was ready then, you know, to do the work that God wanted him to do. And then for 40 years, he led the people of Israel. And he was the one of whom God said, I see him face to face. I talk to him like that, like a man talks to his friend. But here in Hebrews 11, we have another aspect, something more that we learn about Moses. It says, by faith, Moses, verse 24, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, he made his choice. And I think what we heard tonight from Sister Martha, from Mom, was that she made a choice. She chose to live for Jesus. Now for Moses, I guess somehow in his heart he knew that he was not an Egyptian. The words that his mother whispered into his ear when he was born in those first few months, and then as she nursed him, they stayed with him. The faith and the prayers that she prayed over him. You see, his parents were people of faith. And you ought to thank God if you've been placed in a home where people pray for you. You know, sometimes as young people, we don't appreciate that. We don't appreciate the godly heritage, the fact that we have parents who want us to find God and encourage us to seek God and who pray for us. What a blessing that is. And so when Moses came of age, he realized, I'm not an Egyptian. And I don't want to be an Egyptian. Remember in Acts, though, we were told that he was mighty in word and deed. He rose up in that court of Pharaoh. He made a name for himself. But there came a time when he made his choice. And it seemed, as was said, that choice cost him something. If you choose to follow Jesus, if you choose to live holiness unto the Lord, it will cost us. But are we willing to make that choice? Now, how is it that he could make that choice? The Bible tells us. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. He was willing to identify. It's interesting that the word Christ is used here. But he was willing to identify with the people of God. He was willing to take that name, so to speak, as we would, of Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian. Mm-hmm. You're born again? He was willing to take that name and suffer the disgrace. He valued that higher than all the treasures of Egypt. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. And I think that's so important, beloved. You know, we're kind of raised in a society that says everything's about the now. You know, it's about now. I live for the moment. I live for myself. It's about now. There's no real consideration that there's an eternity before us. And even the people of God, I mean, when was the last time that you considered that there's an eternity before you? In making a choice, in making a decision, have you ever said, what are the eternal consequences to the decision I make? Have you ever done that? Now, I know that you might say, well, not every decision I make has an eternal implication. Well, I might beg to differ. Because if we're living for Christ, if we're living to please our Master, Jesus, then the choices I make, the decisions I make, have to be made in light of His Word and in light of what it means for eternity, with eternity in view. And he goes on to say that here. It says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Now, what is he talking about? Somehow his eyes were open. The inner eye, the spiritual eye, was open to the things that were invisible to the natural. But he had a sight of God. He had a sight of eternity. God had met him. And he made his choice. By faith. You see, you really have to go back to the beginning of the chapter. And how is faith defined? Is it what we see with our eyes? Is that what faith is about? Someone has said that faith substantiates the unseen realities. Where's Joel? Oh, he's still cleaning the kitchen. Faith substantiates the unseen realities. The things that last, the Bible says, are not seen. The things that are temporal, the things that are seen, they pass away. But the things that are unseen, those are the things that last forever. And so I'd just like to encourage us tonight. We need to make our choice. My sister Janet, for the second period of the girl, she had that theme, choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Well, who do you choose? There's a song that we sang, I guess, two nights ago, it must be. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wean it from earth, through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art, and make me love thee as I ought to love. And then there's another verse that is not very familiar to us. I ask no, what is it? Dreams, no prophets, ecstasies, no sudden rending of the veil of clay. When you sang that, were you saying, what is he saying? What is this about? No angel visitant and no opening sky. Right, you got it? All those magnificent things that we would say, oh, I'd love that to happen to me. Wouldn't you like an angel to visit you? Would you like God to rend the sky and speak to you? He says, that's not what I'm asking for. But I'm asking, Lord, that you would take the dimness of my soul away. take the dimness of my soul away. Somehow we're blinded to the things that are really, really important. And we don't see the things that are eternal. There's a dimness in our souls. We're so caught up in the now. Even with church, it's about how I feel. God, come and bless me. And if I can get happy and leave church, that's great. I come back again next Sunday and I get happy again. And we don't learn to walk with God and make our choice every day. Jesus, I want to live with you moment by moment, day by day, because I know you have a plan over my life. I know you have a purpose that will last for eternity. You are working in me for eternity. Take the dimness of my soul away. Lord, I want to see you. Open my eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. I believe it must be a work of God's Spirit within us, beloved. But how does that take place? You know, sometimes it's in a meeting like this or in a church service where God comes and He pours out His Spirit upon us and we receive that grace and help to live for Him. But then that has to be lived out. And that has to continue. It's not like it's just a one-time thing. You know, when we seek God, it's not like we're just, you know, fill me up and then I go away and maybe I come back next year to camp and I say, fill me up again, Lord. No, but it's like Mom said, you know, taking the time out in your day to spend time with Him. God comes to you. Every day He wants to meet with you. Every day He wants to fill you with Himself. Every day He wants to draw your heart. Pour His love into you. Reveal Himself to you. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, open my eyes. I want to see you. Open my heart. Open my ears, Lord. Speak to me. And I believe Moses, you know, we're not told a lot about his experience. We don't know what happened those 40 years in the desert before God came to him in the burning bush. Was there something stirring in his heart? You think he had a lot of time to think about what could have been? Maybe he felt he was a failure, but I believe that God was speaking to him and dealing with him. And when he turned aside to look at that burning bush, he knew something was taking place. God spoke to him. God had prepared him for that moment. And I believe these are days of preparation for us, because the real thing happens when we leave camp, so to speak. Now, this is nice. This is the mountaintop, beloved. The work could be hard, but this is the mountaintop. And then we go back down to the valley. And we don't find that support around us, so to speak, you know. Look at all the great brothers and sisters we have here. This is wonderful. And then we have to go into a classroom maybe where you're the only one. Or you go back into a home, maybe where you're the only one who goes to church. The only one in your office who is a Christian. The Lord wants us to make our choice. The things of earth will fade and lose their value when we recall they're borrowed for a while. They're temporal. But the things of God, the invisible, are eternal. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would help each one of us tonight to get a sight of you. Moses was able to persevere because he saw you, who is invisible. Oh God, open our eyes. Open our eyes, dear God. Now, for each of us, the choice may be a little different. I'm not you, you're not me. Our situations may be different. We might be at different points in our walk with God. But Lord, I pray that our choices would be made in light of eternity. That eternal values would be ours. That we would go to your word. That we would go to prayer. That we would find your will. And that we would do it. Remember a little prayer that our sister Caroline Gardner gave to us. Lord, help me to know your will. Help me to love your will. And Lord, help me to do your will. Is that your choice tonight? Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. And it begins in the little things, as we heard. And so tonight, as we go to prayer, I just would ask that you would, before God, just ask him to examine, to search our hearts and say, Lord, is there anything where I'm not choosing you? We heard about relationships. You know, maybe there are friendships that you need to break off. People that aren't really helping you in your Christian walk, but rather hindering you and drawing you away from God and causing you to forget that this world is not your home. That your citizenship is in heaven. Maybe there are things that we feel are so important to us, the things we possess, the little devices we carry around and push the buttons. And they just distract us and they tie us to this visible world and our spirits are blinded to the eternal. And so the Holy Spirit has to interpret this to you, to your heart, to your life. But if you're really in earnest in seeking him, he will. And he'll make you know what you need to do. It's that wonderful prayer that we've sung so often. And that every time I sing it, I believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart again and causes me to bow before him. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin, and set me free. And so I'd just like us to open to that and just go to our knees and just sing that before the Lord. Let's say yes to Jesus tonight. if you've done that before, it's all right for you again to say, Lord, I'm yours. Take the dimness of my soul away. Give me greater sight, Lord. Open my eyes. Anoint me with eyes salve, that I might see. Does someone have that number? 216. Sing it as our prayer. Search our hearts.